Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old dirty show, T-Mill, a.k.a. Psycho T, have the latest. And the latest is, fellas, some Astros news. They got a big series coming up in Miami as they continue on the road looking to try to get their first win on this road trip. But some news has come out about the Astros, and let's start here with the latest. And the latest is Isak Paredes, Clint and Tyler. Isak Paredes received a PRP injection on his right hamstring and is going to rehab in an attempt to return this season. Astros GM Dana Brown said surgery was on the table for Paredes, Brown said, but Paredes chose to rehab the injury instead. The surgery would carry a recovery time of 6 months plus, GM Dana Brown said. So, Clint, listen, big ups to Isak Paredes, who is going to try to get himself back to playing and being there at some point this season for the Astros. Clearly, the Astros had different thoughts about his ability to get back this year because they replaced him by getting two guys that could go and jump in and play that position, including Carlos Correa. And, Clint, this will be an interesting thing for me. This smells and feels like, hey, boss, won't you just sit down so we don't make this thing worse and let's it's a tough thing. I know you want to play, and I know you're a warrior here. But let's go ahead and get this thing healed up properly so we don't put ourselves in a position to miss more time. But it looks like they are going to they're going the other direction to rehab it. And, I mean, there's a lot to this because let's say if he is able to get back, Clint, what the hell do they do? Paredes and Correa and all of the guys they have with him.
Yeah, look, that is a great question, and for the sake of not blowing the topic on a segment, I think that's a hell of a topic right there of what do they do if he does come back? What does the lineup look like? What does the defense look like? But on the front end of this, this has got to be a very cut and dry thing with Paredes, right? I mean, this PRP stuff, these regenerative treatments. All joking aside, I mean, athletes have gotten crazy, crazy results, whether it's avoiding surgery or recovering from surgery or playing on an injury. Like the results have been crazy with these PRPs, with these different treatments, these different injections. It has to be cut and dry, though, of like, hey, Isak, you can't make it worse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you see these guys sometimes playing with injuries of like, it can't be any worse than it already is. And it's just a matter of, do you want to do surgery now? Or do you, if you have it in 2 months and then you do all your rehab in the off season and you don't get a 2 month head start by missing part of this season. This has to be cut and dry, right? I mean, Surely he's not, to your point, surely he's not just flippant like, yeah, man, let me see if I can come back and help these boys in the playoffs, especially after the Astros went and signed not one but two third basemen.
Yeah, but Clint, if you look at history with the Astros, all their decisions with this between their players, their training staff, all of it, we have a very recent point of reference to look at with Lance McCullers. Lance elected to not have surgery on his elbow and tried to rehab it to get himself ready for the postseason. And he did. And, you know, he pitched in the year that they won the World Series. When they beat the Phillies, he came back late and they rehabbed and rehabbed. And since then, Clint, he's had multiple setbacks and eventually had to get surgery anyway on those bone spurs in his elbow. And it was clear it did get worse. This was something that got worse. And that is just the hope, is that we understand your toughness and what you want to do. But they like, when they made a trade with Kyle Tucker, this was like one of the long-term plays. And you don't want to get a situation where you lose more years of control with a young player that became an all-star in year one because he wants to get back. You've replaced him. Like, the place is filled. I think I would rather get into next year to try to figure out what they're going to do with all those scenarios instead of right now. So, you know, that's the latest with Paredes, Clint. The rest of the news here, good news here with Spencer Arrighetti, who has been out for a while with that right thumb fracture. He has now rejoined the big club, Clint, and is on track to start either tomorrow or Wednesday against the Marlins. So Arrighetti is back with the team and back in the rotation.
Clint. Yeah, this is where, as an Astros fan, I get real excited, man. You made the move. You bring in Urias. You bring in Sanchez. You bring in, most importantly, most notably, Correa. On the same day that he comes in and starts in the lineup, you get Pena back, right? So you got two big guns there, and now you're starting to see, okay, well, now let's introduce Spencer Arrighetti back into this thing. And, you know, at the same time, Altuve had one of his best Julys ever in his career. I guess the best one since, I think I read, 2019 or something like that. So things are starting to kind of come together. Now, it didn't come to fruition in Boston, but things are starting to come together a bit. And Spencer Arrighetti coming back into the fold here with this rotation could be. We don't know what Spencer we're getting, but could be absolutely huge.
No, yeah, he was your plan three starter before the season started. He has made two starts. He's thrown nine innings. So, yeah, I know it wasn't a great first two starts, but damn it, it's you want that over the Jason Alexanders, who's getting the ball tonight, and some of the other guys, the Colton Gordons, the other guys that have had to start. Also, Clint, J.P. France threw two innings in Sugar Land. He will continue his rehab start there. Luis Garcia threw 2 2/3 in Sugar Land on Friday. He'll continue his rehab assignment. Christian Javier threw 3 1/3 innings on Wednesday. He will make another start soon and continue his. Lance McCullers threw a 4-inning simulated game, and he will continue with that blister giving him problems. Brandon Walter has begun a throwing program up to 90 feet while he is in Florida rehabbing. Another big one here, Clint. Yordan Alvarez has traveled to Florida on Sunday to continue his hitting progression. Zach DiCenzo, these nuts, reported to Florida to continue his hitting, throwing, and fielding progression. Jake Myers currently rehabbing in Houston to progress, and he has progressed to running on flat ground. I forgot about Jake Myers almost for a second. So those are the latest injury notes. I don't know how close Jake and Yordan are. Those seem to be the two big ones from a lineup perspective, and then those other pitchers are at least in Sugar Land making their way.
Yep, keep your eyes open. I don't even know if the Astros know how close they are to it. We'll let you know.
Oh, I know. They definitely do not know where these guys
are. Keep your eyes open. Y'all don't even know what that means. Thanks for the update, though. By the way, they're going to get going here at 5:40 in Florida against the Marlins. Hopefully they didn't have too good a time last night. But here is the lineup. Pena, Sanchez, who will be coming back playing his old team and has started out pretty well in his first series as an Astro against the Red Sox. Altuve moves to the three spot. Correa's at third base again. Bat cleanup. Christian Walker behind him. Caratini as the DH. Yiner Diaz is catching again tonight. He is batting seventh with Trammell in center and Cam Smith in right field. And then you did bring this up earlier, Clint. It's been disappointing. They scored 5 total runs over the weekend in Boston. But the lineup, just the look of it, the names in it, just feels a lot better than what we've been looking at.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it feels like we should be able to win a game offensively. It feels like we shouldn't make too much of a habit of losing games where Hunter Brown is nails, you know, or it's a tight ball game and it's just a hit here, a hit there. It looks like with Pena and Correa and Altuve rolling and Christian Walker and Diaz and Sanchez, all these, like it looks like an offense that, yes, you're missing your big gun in the middle, no doubt about that. But it looks like an offense that you should be able to win some games with the bats here. And so hopefully we'll see some of that sooner rather than later.
Yep. Again, 5:40 start. Tyler's not going to screw you with best bets. There will be no Astros one, so you can you don't have to get going earlier thinking it'll be too late. He's got other bets that you by the way, were you in the green Friday?
Nope.
Damn it. All right. He's got other bets, though, that aren't Astros related that you'll want to listen for coming up a little bit later.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, Clint, training camp day 11 there in West Virginia. You heard from Seth and Sean earlier. If you missed him, go to the podcast page. He was on with us at 3:40. They were on with us at 3:40, so you can listen back to that. Some injury notes, Clint. Christian Harris still didn't practice today. Jarrett Wayne was out today. Jalen Reed, your guy with the ankle, was sidelined. Obviously, Joe Mixon, Trent Brown still hasn't gotten going. Damian Pierce either. By the way, though, some news on Christian Harris and Damian Pierce. Reports were they were off on a side field practicing, and according to DJ Bieniemy, Clint, their movements looked good to his eyes. So Christian Harris, Damian Pierce were at least getting workouts on the field, and you saw them moving around.
Well, that's good. I mean, both of those guys, Christian Harris in a big, big way. I mean, as if this defense needs to acquire another super talented player, but we've got one waiting in the wings. If we can just get him back on the field, that is going to be an absolute boost to this linebacker. I mean, you mentioned E.J. Speed had a pick today. Hell, I think E.J. Speed and Azeez Al-Shaair had a pick today in critical situations. Your best linebacker's been on the pine for or been injured on the injured list for damn near 2 years. So, not really, but it feels like that. But
what is going on there? I know they don't have to be transparent with us, Clint, because of the timing or whatever. But what in the world is going on with this calf? I mean, it's just.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's the damnedest thing. It's something like right now. I mean, why would he be at the Greenbrier practicing instead of just stay here with you know, a training staff that he sees there? He's obviously very close. He's obviously at a spot where he needs to be on field doing football activities, and he's just not ready to pull the trigger and get it in the act to get hit yet, ultimately, or do any of the hitting. He's got to be extremely close, man. So I'm just keeping my fingers crossed that it's sooner rather than later. I mean, again, between Christian Harris and the Astros, I'm about done, trying to figure it out.
Yeah. So that is the latest there. With those two guys, it's good to see them back, and hopefully they're close, as Clint just said.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, fellas, the coaches poll came out, and the Texas Longhorns, sorry, Tyler, are number one to start the season. Ohio State, number two. I wonder how much do they really believe that? Are they just ready for a 1-2 right off the bat to start the season? Because I think
you beat me to it.
I think Penn State's pretty good. I think Penn State's the preseason pick to win the Big Ten, but they are rated third in the league, knowing that they will jump up to one of those spots when one of those two teams lose. But Texas, Ohio State, Penn State, Georgia, and Notre Dame, that is the top five from the coaches' poll. SMU, your guy, Red over there, has got his team preseason 16. Clint, A&M at 21, Texas Tech at 24, Kansas, Arkansas, nowhere close to the polls. Your thoughts of the preseason top 25?
Yeah, look, I mean, when you look at it, I think the last year's college ball playoffs and the teams that went deeper that also are reloading. And as you mentioned, I think it's convenient to put Texas and Ohio State up there because they play right out of the gate. It's going to be a good 1-2. And we'll see. I mean, whoa.
Bless you,
buddy. All right? You all right? Was that
somebody, thought I turned that mic off. Excuse me.
I thought you got hit with an air gun or something.
I turned the mic off. Damn it.
You're fine, man. Bless you, dude.
But, yeah, well, I mean, we'll see. Preseason rankings are just that. I think they're heavily weighted on what the hell we saw last year, obviously. And we'll see what happens when rubber meets the road.
Yeah. It'll be fun. Again, as you know, Clint, it feels like these polls matter less and less now. Now that, you know, you've got the playoffs, 12 teams can make it. It used to be these preseason polls were really, really important because if you start high enough, even if you lose, you know, it doesn't drop you that far out, right? And now, now it I don't think it's as big a deal. Yeah. All right, coming up, there was an interesting thing that happened at practice today for the Texans. It's kind of crazy. It shocked me. It did not really surprise Clint. We'll talk about that, and we'll see how much longer this grace period is for Clint with this offense. All of that as we continue coming up next.
It's Texans Training Camp, live from the Mokerum Injury Lawyers Studio. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in. As training camp continues, they've moved site. They've taken this show to West Virginia. Seth and Sean are out there live. They're doing their show live, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m., and they're joining all of our shows. I think they'll be on with In the Loop during the week at 12:40, and with us, you can catch them at 3:40. And they talked today and gave some good nuggets of what they saw, so I suggest you go check that out. And one thing that they spoke about and was one of the big stories, if not the big story out of the day, because, you know, the defense and that has become reoccurring, that is Cam Robinson, Clint. Nothing serious, but he did step out of practice and had to leave practice, didn't return, got up a little gimpy. And what they did, to me, was very surprising. For you, Clint, as we talked about it, not as surprising, but for me, very surprising. And Seth saying a similar thing, it kind of threw him off a little bit, had to reevaluate how they look at Blake Fisher. But they started out with Cam Robinson at left tackle, Lakin Tomlinson at left guard, Andrews at center, and then Titus at right guard, with the Ursary, the rookie, at right tackle. That's kind of been the show that they've been running here, with Andrews and Patterson kind of going back and forth. But when Cam went down, the immediate thought was Blake Fisher will enter the game, and he did not, Clint. It was Ursary kicking to the left side and then kicking Titus Howard, who I have not seen any tackle probably since OTAs. He has been entrenched in that right guard spot. They kick him out to left guard, to right tackle, his normal position, and then bring in Drew Scruggs, who, as Sean said earlier, has not had a great camp, and they put him in at right guard, and that is where they decided to go. And Saturday, Clint D'Amico said, there are guys who have separated themselves on the offensive line, especially since the pads have come on, and they are showing you what they believe a second-round pick who started several games down the stretch, including the playoff games, they're showing you that he is not even the first tackle to come into the game. That was surprising to me, Clint.
Yeah, I mean, that surprises me a bit. I was more referring to, it's not gonna surprise me in any way, shape, or form how musical chairs this offensive line gets when an injury occurs or when somebody doesn't play well. I think they have literally, if these guys are all trained to do one thing, it is expect the unexpected and be able to respond positively no matter where we ask you to play. And so this group, when it comes to Nick Caley, and mostly it's Nick Caley and Nick Caserio, it's less D'Amico Ryans and more of those two. The musical chairs at O-line is just a thing that they believe in, and they're trying to find the best five, and it's not about the best two guards and the best center and the best two tackles. It's about the best five. And you may have a guard playing tackle because your backup tackle ain't worth a damn. So that may constitute best five. So that's the part that I'm just not going to let them. I'm not going to let anything they do on the offensive line catch me off guard. None of it's going to surprise me. Now, am I surprised that we're less than 2 weeks into training camp and they've already bumped Tytus Howard from guard, which it looks like he's worked his tail off to be a guard. They've already bumped him from guard to tackle.
Good God.
That in itself surprises me a little bit that it happened so quick and it happened with one hopefully not very bad injury or whatever's going on with Cam Robinson. I'm surprised with that, but there's nothing overall that these guys will do that'll make me sit back in my chair and go, wow, I can't believe that happened.
Yeah.
From an offensive line perspective is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I just didn't know they had gotten into that place with Blake Fisher. That's for me. I didn't know that was the case, that they would say. Now, I'm going to lie to you. I think Tytus Howard may be the best tackle on the team, but they got playing guard. So, I get the thought of it, but I always thought it was like, hey, man, he's going to sit in there and play inside, because that was the biggest thing you had to clean up. And that was the thing they decided to do, was to move him inside. That, to me, was the big offseason outside of, you know, moving on from Laremy Tunsil. That was the big offseason shift and move to help this offensive line, is to bring him inside. And then you got a second-round pick who started playoff games, who started six, seven, eight games last year, that not only has lost his job to a rookie, but as Sean said, they felt better about Juice Scruggs playing right guard than they did about him playing right tackle. And
yeah, well, look, Ron, if we're just talking about Blake Fisher in a vacuum, which may have been the point you're trying to make from get-go, and I took us off in the weeds.
It's any of it, yeah.
Well, but that part of it, like I would be okay with Blake Fisher. I said this to start training camp. I would have been okay with Blake Fisher playing tackle. But now here's the context of that, right, is it's going to allow you to put Tytus Howard, who appears to be one of your best guards, and guard was your problem area. Guard is the problem where you just flat out didn't have the players. So now you're going to take one of your guys, transition him to a guard, put him on the right side where he's played most of his career, and he's going to be your answer at guard. And Cam Robinson is going to be your left tackle, which you'd rather put more value at left tackle than right tackle when you got a right-handed quarterback. And now what's left over is the right tackle position. And you got a Blake Fisher who he clearly is not, you know, I think Sean or Seth, one of the two mentioned earlier, is from a developmental standpoint, he don't fill out pads the same way, Ariante Ursery does. He doesn't fill out pads the same way that Cam Robinson does. He's not physically developed the way that those guys are. Doesn't mean he can't play. He's just not quite there yet, or he's not ever going to get there. But you look at it and you go, can he survive at right tackle? Yeah, he can survive. Would that be your weak link? Probably. Boy, we went from thinking that to like, hell, we're 2 weeks in. His ass is out. Ariante Ursery's in. And we'll shuffle our whole line.
Wow. That's the part. You brought that up is this is a group that is trying. Like, they've got, Clint, they've got more pressure of anybody on the field. They got more pressure than anybody else.
Sure.
Because they're the ones who are looked at as, you're the reason why this team isn't as good offensively as we thought they could be. And maybe holding them all back. They got a lot of pressure. And Clint, they're learning a new offense, learning how to play with each other on the field, before anybody messes those comments up. And all of a sudden, one move is going to, change three different spots across the line and put people in different spots that we haven't been playing with. When Juice Scruggs and Tytus, what, last year? That's the last time they played together as tackle and guard? Like, woo!
Yeah, you know, an interesting thing with this whole deal is you mentioned pressure, and again, I don't mean to get us off in the weeds too much here, but, you know, when you look at the two offensive lines that have to improve the most from last year, it was Chicago and Houston, right? One of them went out, they fired everybody and brought in Ben Johnson, the best play caller, and they went out and they signed some of the best free agents available on the market, right? And best guard, best center, they signed several of them. But what D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio did was, we're going to take the whole is greater than the sum of the parts, or whatever the hell they say. You know, we're going to retool this whole thing and have a different personality and we're not going to spend a ton of money and we're going to bank on five guys together being better than going and getting one great one. the pressure here is squarely on D'Amico Ryans and yep. Nick Caserio. Because, again, what's going to happen is, you know, if like, let's say Chicago. If Chicago's offensive line isn't very good, yeah, they're going to look at Ben Johnson. They're going to look at the quarterback coach. I mean, the O-line coach. But they're also going to look at that damn all-pro that you paid all that money to, that Joe Tooney cat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Or the center who was the number one.
Yes, the center they got out of Atlanta or wherever the hell he came from. That was the one of the top centers on the market. Like, there's also a level of, hey, man, we paid you guys some big bucks. Y'all are veterans with pelts on the wall. The hell's going on here? Right? In Houston, I don't think that's going to be the case. I don't think it's going to be any other way to look than D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio. If these cats don't play well, and we end up with Titus Howard at tackle and Juice Scruggs at guard and more of the same across the board where CJ's getting beat up and CJ's getting pressured. All eyes are going to be on D'Amico Ryans.
Yeah, it just, when you say it out loud, your second round pick in his second year, in which his first year he started six, seven games, two being playoff games. And the next year, he's not ready to come in as a swing tackle. And baby, it ain't because you got so many good players up front. It's just because you don't trust him. That when you say it out loud, that is a bad look.
Yeah, no question.
That is a bad look. All right, coming up as we continue, T-Mill's Best Bets. We'll let you know what's going on with the Astros as they are about to get underway in Miami, and an update on Isak Paredes. We told you about him avoiding surgery. There is more to that story as well. We'll tell you that on the other side.
It's Texans Training Camp, live from the Mokerum Injury Lawyers Studio. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, stay right here with us. We'll keep you abreast on what's happening as it is the Astros and Marlins underway right now in the first inning, and the Astros are playing one of the hottest teams in baseball. 5-game winning streak, just sweeping the Yankees are the Marlins, and they are up to 500, so they are trying to get back in the wild card race. And obviously, the Astros are the opposite. They've lost three in a row, losing to the Red Sox over the weekend and getting swept. Coming up behind us, it is Texans All Access. Mark Vandermeer, John Harris, as they are also live there in West Virginia. They will tell you about the camp day hits as well. And Fairbairn, the kicker, Kaimi Fairbairn, will join them as well coming up behind us. So stay tuned for that. And Area 45 is back in action, and they will have a post-game show for you, the best post-game show, as the Astros are looking to break yet another losing streak here in the second half in Miami to get back on track. Jason Alexander on the mound. They'll get you ready for that. Chris Santiago producing that bad boy. Sean Pajani, Patrick Creighton, they got it for you as the best late night show in Houston right there. Area 45, stay tuned for that. Some news, Clint, on the plasma treatments. As we told you about, Isak Paredes has decided to go against surgery, which would keep him out potentially 6+ months, but decided to go with getting injections and wanted to rehab it with the chances of coming back coming back at some point this season. It is August, by the way. It is August 4th. Right now, and Clint, another update on that. According to Houston Chronicle, after plasma injections, Isak Paredes will have to wait, quote, a long period before starting any type of exercises. A long period before starting any type of exercises. So that is the latest there on the injections with Isak Paredes. What are we doing here?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. Again, this has to be. I know it's foreign, it's unorthodox, but this has to be one of those of course, a calculated decision, but more one of those decisions of like, hey, man, you can't make it much worse. Let's just try this and see if you can come back and help these guys in the playoffs. And if not, you have the surgery, you miss 6 months, boom, everything is fine. You know, this has got to be something that's cut and dry, right? This can't be, hey, man, let's wait around for 6 weeks, a month until, you know, and then we'll we'll see if you can go do some baseball things. And by then they're in the playoffs and see what happens. Like there has to be a can't lose in this deal.
I hope so, Clint. I hope this is not a Lance McCullers situation. It is just an odd. It would be surprising to me if we heard someone come out and say that this hamstring situation, Clint, is the type of thing that can't get worse. Like, I mean, maybe it is rest, right? Like, I do think that, let's say, a guy like Tyrese Halliburton would have been able to heal that by rest. But clearly, there was a chance for it to get worse. And it did. And there are some injuries that are that way. I'd be surprised, Clint, if this is one where, let's say, he rehabs it, doesn't get the surgery, and he's completely out of the woods and can't hurt it any worse. That would be surprising to me. So it is a risk that he's taking. And again, you said it earlier, and I agree with you. Like, shout out to Isak Paredes for wanting to be there for his team and trying to get back. But hopefully the Astros just, and him, they don't make a decision that could make this thing longer and worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Coming in from the text line before we get to T-Mill's best bets, as you brought the Bears as a comparison texter, can we wait until the Bears actually do something before we start trying to say that we need to be more like the Bears? Any team can spend a bunch of money, and we have no idea if Ben Johnson will be a good head coach. Can we pump the brakes on the Bears being the shining star example?
Yeah. Just to be clear, you added a lot of context there that I don't think was even remotely close to a part of the conversation. The point being made was the two teams in this league that had the biggest offensive line issues last year were the Texans.
You could probably throw Kansas City in there too, and the Texans did different things than the Bears did to attack it.
Well, I don't want to cloud the waters, muddy the waters any more than necessary. But yeah, you can throw them in there. But I mean, you had two teams that were really bad. One of them took the route of spending a bunch of money and bringing in a bunch of free agents that were the top guys available. The other team in the Texans did not spend very much money and got rid of their best offensive lineman, downgraded from a talent perspective, and brought in a new OC and a new O-line coach. And you know, it's just two different approaches. I think you were just talking about the approaches. Just two different approaches. And if it doesn't work in both places, one of them is the Houston Texans. I'll speak for myself. My question is going to be for Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans.
Yeah.
If it doesn't happen in Chicago, what the hell happened to Joe Tooney?
Yeah.
What the hell happened? I can't remember the center's name that they. What,
Chris Dahl.
There you go. Yeah. Dahl. What the hell happened to that guy? What the world's going on here? Right? That's the only point. I mean, if it doesn't work one place, you got to look at the guys with the offensive linemen that they brought in. They paid to do a job, and they didn't do the job very good.
Yeah, in Chicago, it'd probably be more Ryan Poles, not as much Ryan Poles and Ben Johnson as, hey, man, you guys took a swing on guys that made sense that everybody thought made sense, as opposed to, it seems like the Texans took a more questioned approach.
Well, they took the approach of one of two things. Either we don't have the money, or we know better than y'all. It's not about talent. It's more about the makeup of the room and these guys we brought in, we believe in, and y'all just going to have to trust us, right? That there's two different approaches, and I'm not saying one is better than the other. I'm not saying one is or isn't going to work. I'm saying if they don't work, if the two teams that were as bad as anybody at allowing pressures and getting their quarterback beat up, if their protection does not improve when it was as bad as it was in 2024, there's – you're looking at all pro some of the best to ever do it that just don't perform in Chicago. And in Houston, you got to look at the head coach and the general manager for the approach they took. That's it.
Yeah. I think it was just the approaches and who will be looked at.
Now, by the way, I do think Chicago is going to have a pretty good offensive line.
And you have said you'd rather that approach than the approach to the Texans.
Well, I would rather the approach of hire a proven offensive play caller that's done it before.
And I'll be honest with you, Clint. I think deep down the fans would have liked to have gotten, would not have been upset if the Texans went after the best center and. Or a three-time All-Pro the last three years. I think they would have been pissed.
Yeah, so I'm just saying that's just the reality of the situation. It is what it is. I don't know what's going to work or what isn't going to work. I don't know what's going to be great and what's not going to be great.
Yeah.
But, boy, if this offensive line scenario here doesn't work, I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to be mad at
Lakin Tomlinson?
Lakin Tomlinson and Jake Andrews you're Ed Ingram,
Big Ed.
You know you're gonna be mad because Blake Fisher didn't work out. I mean, it's gonna be rough on them top dogs around here if it doesn't work out.
All right, let's get these best bets. Let's get off to a good start on a Monday. Let's get in the green on a Monday. Tyler, T Mills best bets. What you got for the people?
Yes, sir. 5 wagers for you on a Monday around Major League Baseball. Some of these getting started shortly after 6 p.m., so if you want a tail fade, whatever it is you're doing, you're going to want to get on it. might want to lean towards fading. First bet tonight, Diamondbacks hosting the Padres out in the desert, plus half a run for the D-backs in the first 5 innings of that one. I like that bet a lot. Might be my favorite one. Cardinals-Dodgers over 4 runs in the first 5 innings of that game. Next up, I got Canada Blue Jays. They're traveling to Colorado to take on the Rockies. I got the Blue Jays -1.5 runs at -145 odds. Good
Sounds
stuff.
Like
right
a great
there.
Idea.
Yes, sir. Braves +1.5 runs at -130 tonight as they host the Milwaukee Brewers. And then lastly here and over, I really like the Yankee Turds. They're in Arlington taking on the Rangers over 7.5 runs tonight. Up in Arlington between the Yankees and Rangers in that game. Those are your 5 best bets. If you missed any of them, head to the Twitter at @TMillRealDeal.
There it is, man. I like, again, that Jays won a lot. That Yankees-Rangers over, that feels pretty good. Although the Rangers, man, I know Seattle can pitch. They haven't been scoring.
It will be on the Rangers in that bet for sure. They haven't been scoring as much. They need to score a few.
And there's no Judge. Yeah, we'll see. What happens there with that group. But hopefully you can get in the green now. Stay in the green. All right, coming up behind us, Texans All Access and Area 45 follows them as well. Shout out to Sean and Seth, and make sure you listen to them 6 a.m. as they will be live in West Virginia. They'll be back tomorrow with us at 3:40 again, so shout out to them. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job as always. I am Ron, the show Hughley in Houston. We love you, baby.
Just one look at you. And thank you guys for bringing us a first-class sports show to the city.